from stpetecatalyst.com.
Joining me on Impact Catalyst today are Peter Lefferts and Alex Sink, and we're going to talk about ArtSpace. Welcome.
Thank you.
So ArtSpace is a what we call a dual opportunity. It can address some issues around the arts and some issues around housing, which is exciting and it's innovative. Tell us a little bit about what ArtSpace is, please.
ArtSpace is a 30-plus year operation, now has a national footprint from Hawaii to New England, and we create multi-purpose spaces for the creative community. Typically, our facilities are a combination of affordable studio apartments and workspaces with some community space for showings and a lot of community meetings. The reach goes far beyond artists. We have 54 of these facilities operating from coast to coast. They all are successful because they are engineered to be successful. And they, you know, in business, aren't possibly the greatest testimonial is repeat business from existing customers. And we get that. The operation started in the Twin Cities of Minnesota, which now has 23 ArtSpace installations across the state. And we are constantly requested to come back. But it's a challenging set of obstacles because the economic formula involves a fairly complex thing that ArtSpace calls the capital stack, if you're familiar with that phrase. And so much of this is financed with taxpayer money or philanthropy, and then it's set up. One might compare it to a college campus whereby the college finances the dormitories and the facilities, so the tuition doesn't really pay for the capital assets. Thus, you can assure an affordable formula. And one of the unique aspects of ArtSpace is that we assure long-term affordability. Many of the people who benefit from this program have been kicked out of neighborhoods as they gentrify and the rents rise. This is the classic artist's life. You might even have seen it in the musical Rent, you know, the way we move around. So we have a solution to that, but it takes a lot of community support to put it together. And a group of us got together last year and said, you know, we think this concept, which has been successful for three decades across the country, could work here. And I guess the other thing I would say is the perception of some of us was it was an idea whose time has come for Tampa, because Tampa has so many of the major assets of a world-class city, you know, a great airport, great waterfront, great research university, ever-rising level of talent. But we weren't known to be a center for the creative arts, even though there is a lot of artists in the city. So we said we could take that to the next level by applying the concept of ArtSpace. And we got together with a number of people and presented the concept to other community leaders, such as Alex. And there was a lot of buy-in. And so a group came together, put some money on the table to engage ArtSpace Consulting in Minneapolis. And you have seen the first of their work products, the preliminary feasibility study, which was rigorously reaffirmed that it's an idea that could work in Tampa.
So when you look at the benefits for an initiative like this, and you're starting to build out the financial support for it, there's clearly a benefit to the culture of the city, to the arts presence of the city, and I would say that benefit is directly proportional to the premium placement of such a facility, so that it can really infuse the core areas of the city. Now, those areas are also going to be the most expensive. So when you look at, obviously affordable housing doesn't fit the equation for the traditional developer. And so this is where you come into these other forms of support and financing. How do you sort of weigh, how premium you need to be in your placement and influencing how much money you go for to support the project?
Some of this conversation got started, I remember, probably 2 years ago now. I'm saying everything is last year, but now I'm realizing that last year is a blur and everything was really 2 years ago. I remember being at a Cafe Con Tampa event with the James Nozar from SPP, which is the developer of Water Street. And this issue of affordable housing comes up because we're seeing in front of our very face, certainly the Channelside District downtown becoming more gentrified, if you will. And James basically said, you know, the problem that we have as a developer is the numbers just don't work. But yet we know that there's this pent-up demand, certainly in the Tampa Bay region, for what we call affordable housing. So how do you create a thriving community environment in which people of all income levels are mixing it up and able to make a living and work and thrive? And so I think that what we're seeing is, and, you know, the classic example is for somebody in my age cohort is that many, many years ago, the lofts in the lower west side of New York City became very popular for artists because they had these high spaces and artists loved being in places with lots of light, blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden, the next thing you know, the rich people move in and there's no place for the artists to live. And that's why, to me, hearing about the art space concept was just so wonderful, because art space, as you know by now, they control the facility. They control the land, the building, so that it never happens that they get under this pressure to sell out to the wealthier people who can afford to live in a downtown. So I think that what's coming together for us is that a level of awareness, a la your question, a level of awareness of creating this community environment in which people of all of various income levels can really thrive and build this dynamic, thriving, exciting community. And I really like the first part of the study, which was basically our space is just coming in and saying, let's just see what the mood of the people in Tampa is. And we can talk more about that, but the results from the first study, all the focus groups put together, community leaders, potential funders, people in the arts community, is the time. It's like Peter said, we think that the time is now. And the thing that, and I'll finish up by saying the thing that I've been really intrigued by is that we have started conversations with these developers like SPP, like Daryl Shaw, who's trying to make something happen in Ybor and has assembled a lot of land. Last week, we spoke with the people from the Related Group. That's George Perez, the group that's doing the West Tampa project, plus he's building the Ritz-Carlton apartments on Bayshore Boulevard. They don't get it. They see that having this excitement and this place where our arts community can live, work, thrive, have studios, have practice space, really endures to the benefit of even their hugely profitable projects as well.
And so maybe it's not so much even needing to worry about placing this in an existing premium location. You could actually build a premium location centered around something like this. So it opens up the opportunity to create that community.
What's for some slightly different for others. An important part of the work that Alex references is research with these different segments, particularly with the artists. Number one question is, where do the artists want to live? And in Tampa, that has the additional edge of a very embryonic transit system. So they need to have basic facilities like a grocery store that's either walkable or bikeable. And they want the prospect of some similarly creative people around them. So generally, these properties are in areas near cities with what our colleagues in Memphis call connectivity, but they don't have to be on the prime real estate. The sweetness in this is once you get to have one of these facilities in the neighborhood, you like them. One somewhat crass comment that stuck with me was, artists are the poor people you like to have in the neighborhood.
I love that.
It's inherently diverse. You know, I could argue that creative arts is the motherland of diversity just by the way artists look at life. They hold things up and get refracting angles and twisted around, you know, like Picasso. And they say, all of these are realities. So it's inherently diverse. And now community and business leaders have recognized emphatically that it's good for the community. And our thinking was, in the strong and growing of a brand name, culture of arts and the creative community are underappreciated. That's not all bad news. I mean, look, anyone that hears the word Tampa this week, they think of the Super Bowl, and that's fine. But we're more than the Super Bowl. We're more than a great airport. We're more than a great distribution center. We're more than a great white-collar back office. And finally, I believe that the 21st century commercially and socially, civically is going to be driven by talent. Talent will go where it likes to live. And now more than ever, with remote work, people choose vibrant places. And vibrancy and artists have always gone together. Just look at where you, when you think of a dream vacation, where do you go? It often is a place with artists. So you can gallery crawl and things like that. So the benefits go far beyond the couple of thousand artists around the Bay. It's a community benefit.
And I think you touch on an important point. When affordable housing is discussed, the not in my backyard comes up pretty instantly. But when you say it's affordable housing that's artist lofts, oh, maybe. You know, maybe that would be nice for my backyard. So I think it's certainly has a branding benefit for affordable housing. Let's look at the actual operations. You had mentioned that there's some gallery space. You had mentioned there's some common meeting space. So what's sort of the glue that holds together the artists with their ability to make revenue? Are there programs, or how does it all play together, the residents and the commerce?
I guess the primary glue is that artists thrive on proximity to other artists. Just like, you know, the salons in Paris, the Life Along the River, Po in Florence, things like that. We do a reasonable amount of surveying of the occupants of these 54 buildings, and they love the fact that they go outside their door, walk down the hall, and there's a musician, there's a painter, there's a sculptor, there's a welder. And we have a very broad view of the arts. You know, we have literature teachers and poetry teachers. It's like any thriving university city. Secondly, of course, it's a high-quality building. Alex mentioned that we manage them. These are not hovels. They're built to standard and they're managed to standard. And we protect their ability to stay there, so that when they see a condo being built across the street, they're not afraid, I'm next. This has been particularly the case in Ybor City, we understand. So I might mention that most of our occupants have other jobs. They don't live off their art. But with an affordable housing calibrated rental, they can make a go of it, and they don't have to move every time their neighborhood gets hot. So the real challenge, Steve, is getting into the art space queue. I've heard that at West Point and the Naval Academy, once you get in, they have a major support network to make very, very likely that you will get through. The challenge is getting in. So ArtSpace does virtually no marketing. Cities come to them because they've seen what happens. And I hope you have a chance to visit the artspace.org website, because much more than my talking, the best sales pitch is to look at the buildings and look at the people who support it. And if you ever get to visit one, the closest one is in Fort Lauderdale. They're very happy customers, and it's the best testimonial for what we do.
Great. And the URL locally is Artspace Tampa, which is redirect, but that will get you there. And so as we look at this project's evolution, it seems to be there are sort of three main steps. The first one was feasibility study, which has happened and had a positive outcome. Next, you're raising for a deeper dive to actually dig into the, and really build the plans out that can then be acted upon. And then that third phase, ideally assuming phase two goes well, is to go forth and build. Is that a fair summary?
I mean, I think the second phase will scale out kind of the size of a project that can be supported here. And then the third phase is putting together the financing, identifying the location and putting together the financing, which is complex in and of itself, because there are probably, four or five different layers of this so-called capital that have to be put together. And we've got to get, the government has to be involved, because we have to get the tax credits and we have to get our allocation of tax credits, and the private sector has to be involved, because there is a philanthropic component to this, and find those foundations or developers or entities that are willing to basically donate a certain amount to make the numbers work. So,
and one of the aspects that Alex just mentioned, we have a major ally right there in St. Pete. Raymond James Financial is our biggest syndicator of tax credits. We have a great relationship with them.
And who else have you gathered into the sort of coalition that's working on this? Can you tell us a few of the other groups you're involved with?
Well, we certainly hope some of the local financial institutions and charitable foundations. But when you get to the artspace.org website, for each site, there's kind of a page, and it usually lays out the capital stack and the key funders. And in any typical project, you'll see typically, I would say, 8 to 12 funders. It's quite a mix. We also get huge support from the biggest name foundations in the country. Ford Foundation is a major supporter of ArtSpace. Kresge Foundation, the Walton Family Foundation in Arkansas is doing a lot with us. So we have a very good ArtSpace has a wonderful brand name, which is one of the great assets of working with them. And we want to play that game and have Tampa known as a cultural place to be, not just commercial, big events, airports, and all that.
ArtSpace seems to make so much sense. As it relates specifically to Tampa, what do you see as the biggest risk factors to this not coming to fruition?
I think we're all pretty positive that they were amazed at the level of support and enthusiasm just doing the first part of the study. And we're all convinced that the second part of the study, which is the scaling it out, the preliminary feasibility, we're more than optimistic. So we're sure that that's going to come out. And so then you get to, the third phase. And I think from talking to them and other people, the challenge is going to be, it really is kind of based on getting these tax credits, taking advantage of these tax credit financing deals, and there's an allocation of those. And so that's one risk part, is whether or not our project can get an allocation from the tax credit authorities, which has to go through the county and the state. So that's one risk. And then after that, it gets to be whether or not we can raise get the philanthropic level of support. And, in this town, that's can be problematical. But when you think about the fact that the Vinnick family and Penny have taken such a lead and such an interest in building out our cultural environment here, we have George Perez and the Related Group. He's one of the largest funders of arts-related projects in Miami. He gave the major part of the money for the Perez Art Museum. And so I think we have a very, and of course, Daryl Shaw and the SPP people. So I'm hopeful. All the money that has been raised for the Stras, for example, over the years, or the Museum of Art. So there are philanthropists and donors and foundations, the Community Foundation. We met with them. They have access to donors who have specific interests in supporting the arts community. So I think that the risk factor is whether or not all the pieces of the puzzle can be put, all the pieces can be put together in a timely way. And of course, you know, finding the location and working with that landowner and seeing whether the landowner is amenable to giving us a price break or maybe even donating the land, that can make or break the project as well. So those are all the kind of risk elements that I see. Getting residents, Peter, I don't think it's going to be any problem at all. We're going to have a long waiting list for the demand of it.
The applicant list, as Alex says, is always very long because these are great places to live. They're not luxurious. It's just like a very well-run college dorm. But they're clean, they're well-managed, and you have artists up and down the hallway. So it's a great community life.
Yeah, it just sounds like a real hub of goodness, innovation, and creativity, which is befitting the idea itself, I think. So I know with the acumen of both of you behind it and the connections and the need for it, I mirror your optimism, Alex, and thank you for spending some of your precious time here and also working on this project.
Well, thanks for your interest. And by the way, I love your publication.
Thank you.
From stpcatalyst.com.